Local news can come at you fast. Want the latest on what's happening in your backyard? Download the free Odyssey app. Follow your local news station, and you'll get alerts on the top stories making headlines in your city. You can stay in the know, no matter what you're up to, and be among the first to find out when news breaks. Plus, keep tabs on weather and traffic, so you're never caught off guard. To get started, download the Odyssey app. That's A-U-D-A-C-Y. And follow your local news station.
Tommy, you are you're truly an impresario of the introduction.
Well, there you go.
And you've got me in the mood of a spaghetti western right now with that intro. But I am merely, in truth, a troubadour of the tummy, and I am a traveling troubadour of the tummy. And before this show gets past us, remind me, I want to cue everybody into some interesting culinary travels I have coming up next week that I hope people will follow along with. But
I wish you had told me troubadour of the tummy before I did that, because that would have helped out. But it's a little bit late to get this kind of feedback, but that's okay. I'll write it down for next time.
It's always next time.
What was the other one you said before that?
You're an impresario.
I can't use that one. Hey, so what are you going to be doing next week? Where are you traveling? Where's your food journey taking you?
Okay, so there is a mega event that happens every 2 years in Lyon, France, which is the third city of France, but the capital of gastronomy. I mean, you think of France, you think of food. And in France, when people think of food, they think of Lyon. Much like in the U.S., when people think of great food, great restaurants, great food city, they think of New Orleans. And there's the connection. This event is called Bocuse d'Or, and it's considered the World Cup of Cuisine. And if that rings a bell at all, it's because last spring there was a qualifier round for it. So much like the World Cup of sports, of soccer, rugby, what have you, nations have to qualify to get into this. And this is not individual chefs or restaurants or celebrity chefs competing. It's actual nations. So there's Team USA that trains for it, then that has a coach, and goes through all this rigor. There's, you know, Team Italy, Team France, Team Japan, Team China, 24 teams in total from across the world, from all five continents qualified to go to Lyon for the finals, which is next week. And the qualifier round was highly significant because the one hosted here in New Orleans was the first time that it's ever been hosted in North America. It's the first exposure of that in North America. And the Bocuse d'Or folks chose not Las Vegas, not New York, but New Orleans. And they did so because of the reputation as a gastronomic capital, as a place that's sort of on the level of culinary excellence and reputation that that this event represents. That was possibly a one-off thing, possibly something that will continue. We shall see. But I am off to Lyon on Monday at the part, and we'll be there through the week for this competition, and moreover, to follow along with a delegation of New Orleanians who are going over there to Lyon, France, to make the case that New Orleans should be considered on the same level or in the same conversations as Lyon, as Bocuse d'Or, that the culinary scene here is one that people should take note of internationally, you know, not just a great place to eat within the region or within the U.S., but a place that should be on your bucket list for travel, for, you know, culinary adventures, which is a lot of what people travel for these days across the globe. And so there will be a contingent of chefs and of people from the New Orleans and Company, the city's tourism marketing agency, who are leading this delegation over to make that case, to represent, and fingers crossed, to hopefully you know, make the case that New Orleans will have the Bocuse d'Or qualifier round permanently, that the road to Lyon for this high-profile, high-cuisine event should run through New Orleans. And so what's at stake? It's a big deal for the city's culinary reputation, and at a time when a lot of cities are marketing themselves on what you can do in the culinary realm, you know, for travelers, for events, for tourism, for all the people who want to get in a plane and travel with their dining dollars. You know, New Orleans feels like we need to do some things, not just rest on our laurels, but rise to the next level and actually showcase a lot of the innovative and diverse things that are happening in our dining scene, which we know about here, but which might not be obvious to people around the world who still think that it's the only shade of it is gumbo and jambalaya and the Hank Williams song from 70 years ago. And so I'm really excited to go. I'm going to be covering it for Nobla.com, for the Times-Picayune in print, and also all over social media. So look for some daily reports, some daily postcards coming from me as I tackle this international food city overseas, all with my 2 months of Duolingo switched over to French. So wish me luck on that front.
Will we be speaking to you next week from Lyon?
Doubtful. I think the time differences will not be in favor for that.
That's very disappointing.
We'll do a check-in with our we'll have our people talk to your people.
Yeah, maybe you should find a way to make that happen. Even if you're full of wine, we don't care. France is, what, 7 hours ahead of us, I think?
Six. Yeah, six. That could be doable. Well be doable.
That'd put you at 6 p.m. That'd be, well, no, at 3 p.m.
We'll see. Yeah, we'll
weasel out on me, McNulty. I won't be having it. I won't be having it. Wrong country. Hey, you know what you might need on that trip to Lyon is a impresario of whatever it is else you said. You got room for me to make that trip or not?
I think that's something for our back offices to figure out.
Though. Okay. Because I'd like to go. I'll tell you, when you do go to Lyon, try the potatoes because I love those. How do you say them? Lyonese potatoes? How do you say it? Lyonese potatoes?
Yes, this will be just the beginning of my mangled mispronunciations of the magnificent French language. When I bring over my New Orleans reference points and start ordering the Burgundy and asking if they're equivalent to Charter Street, just wait for the international incidents to unfurl from there.
You know what we should do? I'm going to open the lines here. If there's anything that you've been hesitant to order in a restaurant because you don't know how to pronounce it, 504-260-1870, and Ian McNulty will walk you through it. Let me start with my Lyonese or Lyonese potatoes. How would I say that if I'm going to order them? How would I say that?
In France, you'd probably say Lyonnais,
downtown. Well, how would I say it?
Yeah, in Antoine, you got Lyonese potatoes. Yeah, Lyonese potatoes.
Lyonese potatoes. Got it.
Get a little more nasal, Tommy.
All right, it's currently 4:15 in Lyon, France, they tell me right now. So there you go, Ian. I think we can work around that. Let's talk about where you've been eating, where you've been drinking, what you've been writing about.
It's been a whole lot of king cake, frankly. Mm-hmm. I feel like we covered a lot of that last week. I've been sort of pre-gaming for the cold. I'll be out of town next week for the freeze, but it's going to be really cold where I'm going to be. And let's face it, it's been pretty chilly around here too this week. So I look ahead and I take some of those cravings into my restaurant plans. And that's led me to, not to necessarily the big bowls of soup that we've talked about before or the gumbo, but that comfort food quotient of red sauce Italian food. Mm-hmm. Everyone's got their favorite, right? I could list a bunch of them for you right now, from the classics to some sort of backstreet joints. But there's a new one that's been on my list called Pulcinella. It's in New Orleans. It's on St. Bernard Avenue, kind of near where the old Circle Food store, that kind of landmark grocery there. Just between Claiborne and St. Claude Avenue. New place, just opened a couple months ago. It used to be called The Green Room, which is a place you and I had talked about before, because that was a Slavic soul food place. It was a Polish, Eastern European food. And boy, that hit the spot in cold weather. Sadly closed. Now you've got to turn to Instagram and find pop-ups to find your pierogi fix. Look for one called Pola, by the way, P-O-L-A, pierogies, if you're jonesing for a taste of what Green Room used to do. But anyway, this location on St. Bernard Avenue, now called Pulcinella, and it is a casual Italian spot that kind of fits this good needed niche, right? It's not your high-end Italian, like what they're doing at Tana over on Metairie Road. It's not like a sub shop or just a kind of a chicken parm joint. It's somewhere in between. It's a trattoria. It's a nice bar. It's cozy. It's casual. We went on a Monday, and it felt like, hey, it was open on a Monday, so that's good. And it felt like service industry night. You know, you looked around, there's an entire, you know, half the staff of a French Quarter bar out for dinner together. The prices are you know, upper mid range, but then the portions arrive and you realize you're getting at least two meals out of this entree. You know, it's a small menu, starts with really nice cocktails, has a good wine list, has a killer meatball to start things off. A really good pasta dish. It was, I believe it was tagliatelle first time we had it. It was bucatini on the menu this time, but just swirling with a real meaty ragu. And that's what I mean, that warm red sauce, comforting, pass me the bread, damn the carbs, some red wine sloshing around in the glass, and a good kind of dim atmosphere and a little hustle and bustle. And, you know, it's new, but it has sort of a classic old school heart. And interestingly, right upstairs, a related concept, it's a bar. It's called the Original Nightcap. So upstairs, there's a bar with a stage where they do burlesque shows and comedy shows and other things. There's a performer called Bella Blue who's part of the whole operation, the restaurant and the bar upstairs. And so on the right night, you can have Italian food downstairs, glass of wine and a cocktail, then go upstairs, literally walk up the stairs and catch a show like it's, you know, 1958. Yeah, it's the old school sort of red sauce downstairs.
That sounds like an awesome evening.
Right? And I'm a sucker for that, the one block date night, yeah. You know, that concept we talked about. But this is one building, upstairs, downstairs. So it's called Pulcinella. The bar is called Original Nightcap. Went on Monday and definitely on my list to go back to. And, you know, when the cold winds start blowing, that red sauce sticks just right.
Pulcinella, and it is, where is the address?
St. Bernard Avenue between Claiborne and St. Claude, nearest landmark of note, the Circle Food Store.
1300 St. Bernard. You know what Pulcinella means in Italian?
It's got something to do with that, the theater, the absurd theater, the clowns and everything, right?
It does, or it could also mean buffoon or fool.
Ah, there it is.
And I just knew that. I didn't look anything up on a computer or anything. 504-260-1870. If you got any questions or comments about where to eat, drink this weekend, Ian McNulty's here. I want to know where you've been eating, where you've been drinking, where you had your king cake from. I had a king cake over the weekend that was surprisingly minimalist to me, and I'll tell you about it, Ian, when we return. Tommy Tucker, it's our favorite hour of the week, talking, eating, and drinking with Ian McNulty. Back in a flash, WWL. All right, 9:26, Tommy Tucker, WWL, talking to Ian McNulty about eating and drinking. I had a king cake from Oak Point that said on the box that they were award-winning and everything else. I had not really heard of these. I tried it. It was minimalist, I guess, and it's amazing how, and I thought about you, Ian, in a conversation we had, how you know, you can make whatever you want and call it a king cake, a stacked macaroon somebody sent me a picture of. I don't know if it was you or somebody else. And called that a king cake. I don't know if that's really a king cake or not. This thing I had from Oak Street was minimalist. Have you had one from there or not?
No, I haven't. But I have a thought on that, Tommy. Yes. And I'm glad you brought up the macaron one. So that one, you can actually you see that one on NOLA.com. It was one of our king cake of the day this week. Backstory is the gal who makes that, she's one of countless kind of home-based makers and pop-ups that have gotten into the king cake game. And her handle is Violet Sprinkles, and she makes macarons all year round and then turns them into these variously sized
wait
cakes.
Hang a second, did I add a syllable into that? I didn't realize I said macaroon. It's not a
macaroon. That's acceptable, you know, but
not if you're going to Lyon, it's not acceptable.
Well, okay, here's how it works. If you're saying macaroon, like with two O's and an N to end it, what you're really referring to technically are those coconut candies.
Okay, like you get at Riccardo's.
Exactly. What you and I are talking about are macarons, which are French or French macaroons. Uh-huh. Okay, so they just spell it a little more condensed and pronounce it differently. Not Macron, the former prime minister, but Macron, macaron. Excuse me.
Just don't let me sound stupid, Ian, is all I'm trying to avoid. If I say something wrong, please tell me. But back to the Macron king cake.
colloquial use. Yeah, sure. So this gal, Violet Sprinkle, she makes those for king cake season. And actually this year is running an event called King Cake Feast that I was just at yesterday that gathers together like maybe a dozen or more different makers and pop-ups in one place. And, of course, it's New Orleans, so they're doing it at bars. Oak and Ale on Oak Street is where it's been going down for the first couple editions, and then it's moving over to Bayou Beer Garden for the next. And because it's New Orleans, it's not just king cake, but it's like king cake crafts and decor and bling and pop-ups, and there's going to be crawfish, and there was a guy with a work bike that was rigged up to be an oyster bar, and it was a lot of fun. So anyway, look up King Cake Feast. I have a story on it. You can get all the details. But that's that. But my theory, to go back to traditional, non-traditional, the plain king cake that you got versus anything under the sun, anything goes, I think, love or hate them, non-traditional king cakes are still the spirit of Mardi Gras. In just the same way that we can have the Rex Parade, Hermes, these deeply traditional parades, and crews, and with all their social ways, and that is the basis of Mardi Gras. Mm-hmm. You know, that's the Mackenzie's king cake. That's the plain king cake. That's the traditional king cake that people will hold up as the one and only true king cake. Mm-hmm. But then you find yourself out during Mardi Gras, and here comes Crew de Vue. Mm-hmm. Here comes the crew of Cork. Here comes Barkus, for crying out loud, a dog parade. And you think, well, this is awesome. This is so much fun. I'm having a blast. This is a whole different side of Mardi Gras. And it's okay. And the two can coexist. You can have Rex and Barkus. You can have Bacchus and Barkus. And you can have a plain king cake that is basically a ring of brioche with some sugar on it that you want to dunk in your CDM coffee. And you can have a king cake that is spun with savory ingredients and Japanese influences and a delicate glaze, and your pinky goes up with it, and it's best paired with a cocktail or maybe a third wave $8 coffee. And it's all good under the Mardi Gras sun, I think. You know, as long as the traditions continue, all the little sidelines and curlicues and spirals can just add to the grand pageant of it all. So I'm here for it.
I was at Zapardo's on Saturday and chatted with some people over there about the different flavors of king cake and what they were. Cookie butter, I don't know what the hell that is, but it might be good. Listen to this text. Somebody texted in, where can I get a king cake with little or no white icing and where the cake doesn't taste like a glorified cinnamon roll?
Hido Bakery in Tarrytown, okay, on the West Bank.
And what are they going to find there?
They're going to find a traditional king cake that is plain, that is topped only with granulated sugar, but it is still special. It is plain without being special. There is a cinnamon
component
theme running through it. Uh-huh. But this is an old school plain king cake, but it actually is delicious. I mean, I don't say those like they're mutually exclusive, but not every plain king cake is going to be really good. Sometimes they're going to be dry. Sometimes they're just like, yeah, okay, that's a glorified cinnamon roll. This is special. It'll taste like king cake. It'll if you're from New Orleans, if you grew up with king cake, it'll hit all those memory buttons from the old days.
So, you know, that brings up the question of, as I was enjoying the king cake last week, that it's kind of is a, it's hard to get away from being a cinnamon cake or coffee cake, a cinnamon roll or coffee cake, right? A king cake, pretty much, kind of?
Well, that depends how far we're going from the tradition. Yeah, I actually had the occasion, and there's a story online right now, NOLA.com. Check out my Instagram if you want a sneak peek at Ian McNulty NOLA, about I got a behind-the-scenes tour, basically, to a king cake making production for Tartine, which is one of my favorite king cakes. Now, Tartine started off making just 7 of these things. Tartine is a small little French-style cafe tucked into a side street off of Broadway by the river uptown, right by Lambeth House. And they've started off making 7. This year, last year, they made 7,000. This year, longer season, they'll make more than that. And they ship them through, they distribute them through the Toast breakfast restaurants. There's one in Gretna, there's one uptown, one in Gentilly now. King Cake Hub, King Cake Drive Through. So they're all over the place. And I got to watch them make them at their dedicated facility, also in Gretna. And it is. I mean, it starts with dough. They're braiding them. They pump in all this cinnamon. In this case, it's just cream cheese cinnamon flavored cream cheese. And then the magic happens. The magic is shaping it into a king cake, covering it with an absurd amount of icing and sugar. And it's purple, green, and gold. And the second you see it, it is not that thing that you can pass by any time, that dried up little Danish or cinnamon roll in the pastry case at the chain. You know, it's Starbucks or something, that thing you just pass by every day and say, temptation, get behind me. It is a king cake, and it becomes attuned to the season, and it must be yours. You must have it in your belly. And it doesn't matter if it's breakfast, lunch break, parade route, or just passing by the kitchen counter again, and you know the knife is in the box. That's the magic of it. It's the cultural import that we put into it, but it has to be good cake. Tartine's a great example of that. You know, there are not all glorified cinnamon rolls shaped into circles and covered with purple, green, and gold are created equal. But, you know, they're all channeling the same idea, which is it's carnival time, it's indulgent, it's fun, it's our tradition. Let's dig in.
All right, somebody's looking for Korean food.
Sure. Korean barbecue is a great thing for this time of year. You're cooking at the table. You're just very often it's an all-you-can-eat kind of situation. If you're over on the West Bank, if you know Hong Kong Market, that great Asian food superstore, in the atrium leading into that is a Korean restaurant. I want to call it K-Town. K-Town Barbecue and Tofu, I believe, is the name of it. Don't let the tofu thing throw you off. A lot of tofu is used in Korean cooking without necessarily being vegetarian, although there are vegetarian things there. That'll be a highly traditional take. And uptown, you've got Coco Barbecue, kind of on the same tips on Magazine Street in the Lower Garden District. And there's one more that was in Metairie that moved to Kenner, a little closer to Williams. Oh, I'm sorry, the name is evading me at the moment. But another good one. It used to be by Clearview, by the Target there. Moved to some smaller digs, but it's worth seeking out off of, on Vets right by Williams.
Somebody texted in and looking for good Indian food, specifically dosas, D-O-S-A?
Yeah, dosa. That's kind of its own realm within Indian cooking. Typically a daytime kind of thing, and a specialty maybe on the weekends. Mm-hmm. There's a restaurant downtown that specializes in it called Namaste, and it's on, I want to say it's on Barone Street and Common. But this is actually a glory age for Indian restaurants around town. Also downtown is Lufu, L-U-F-U. It stands for Let Us Feed You. It's three young guys who started that up. Kind of a multi-regional take on Indian food. It's a lot of dishes that you don't necessarily find at the old familiar ones, the ones that have been around for forever. Aroma is another one. They've just expanded. They have a restaurant kind of under the overpass by the old Charity Hospital near the Superdome. They just opened a second location on Magazine Street right over by, like, Miss Shirley's, Joey K's, Sucre, that area. There's many of them. Another one that's terrific, again, its own specialty niche, is Plume Algiers in the West Bank. And Algiers just outside the point, little mom and pop. Doing dishes that, I mean, I've never seen anywhere else besides Plume, because that's just how deep Indian food goes. And, you know, the chefs are bringing up all these different places, going to different regions and bringing in different dishes for it. And terrific. And then one more. I mean, you want to go upscale, Saffron. It's an upscale, you know, kind of a top 10 New Orleans restaurant, really. Hits it out of the park every time. It is Indian. There's an influence of New Orleans in there, but it is Indian cuisine, upscale presentation and concept, and genuine family restaurant hospitality.
Ian McNulty, a pleasure as always. Safe travels. I hope we get to talk to you from Lyon. We'll see how it works out.
We'll make it happen. And but you can follow until then. Follow the adventures on NOLA.com. I'll be posting every day. And on Instagram, NOLA News, and at Ian McNulty NOLA. And by the time we catch up next week, I hope to be up a little more up to speed on the Ian versus French adventures to come.
It's going to be fun either way. Thank you, Ian McNulty, as always. Bon voyage, as Bugs Bunny would say. Thank you, sir. Ian McNulty, who covers food and dining culture for the Times-Picayune, New Orleans Advocate. We'll get some weekend winners with JR from Taking Vegas.